You are now listening to Bigfoot and Beyond, featuring the OG bad boys of Bigfoot, the Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive of Squatchology, the Chip and Dale of Bigfoot, and I'm not talking about the cartoon. Please welcome your hosts, the Bigfoot celebrity couple, Biff Klobo, better known as Cliff Berrickman and James Bobo Fay.
Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Bobo. How you doing today, man?
Good. How's it going with you?
It's going all right. It's going all right. It's snowing outside today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been snowing more or less all day long. So that's been a little challenging, I guess, in some ways. You know, because I have to go outside to speak to people because I live in the woods and I get crappy reception. And I had some business to take care of today. And I was outside on the porch for 35 or 40 minutes, just freezing.
Yeah, I was looking over to the Nebraska Bigfoot conference last month in February and the blizzards were hitting. It was like six degrees below zero or something like that. And I was out waiting for the ride to the airport. And this hotel didn't have a shuttle there. So I sat out there for an hour. So anyways, I know your pain.
Well, I mean, I didn't feel pain like that, man. I mean, Nebraska in February. I was there last year. I did the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference last year, not this past one. And we were blessed by good weather. It was only in the 20s.
That would have been a luxury.
Okay, Cliff, without further ado, here's a witness, now a friend, that I've had a lot of good conversations with, and he's got some interesting information that you're going to find interesting.
Ameren.
Hey.
Yeah, I got Cliff on the line here with me.
Hey, Cliff.
Hey, man. So is Ameren, is that correct?
Yeah, it's like Cameron without the C.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to lay it down for me.
Been laying it down for about 34 years.
Nice.
You're 34 now, huh?
I know, I'm getting old.
Cliff was asking how I met you, and I was like, well, that's a funny story. And I was just going to tell him, because I know you were 19 when I met you, so that was 15 years ago.
Yeah, either 18 or 19 is one of those years. That was up by Swaddle River Road in Darrington.
Tell Cliff how we met.
So me and my two buddies, we were on this hike. It was like 8 mile hike round trip. And we're on our way back down and we can see the tree line. We're kind of up there in elevation. So we can see the tree line. It's like 1,000 feet away. And we hear this big old, we're like, oh my God. And I was like, that's a Bigfoot. My buddy's like, somebody's hurt. And my other buddy's like, it's a bear. We're like, yeah, we didn't know what we were coming across. I picked up like 3 rocks. I had like no defense for a bear or a Sasquatch or whatever it was. My other buddy had like a pocket knife. And my third buddy had a can of Axe body spray and a lighter for a torch. We're out of luck.
So your buddy he was gonna spray it with fire. Your other friend was gonna whittle a pointed stick and stab it, and you were gonna juggle to confuse it. I mean, what were 3 rocks gonna do?
I was gonna throw the rocks like a Bigfoot.
So yeah, they came around the corner, and the looks on their faces, it was me and Yamarone standing there.
Yeah, we go down the tree line and we see Bobo 2 miles up the trail wearing flip flops. The rest is history.
You were all kind of right. There's an element of Bigfoot, bear, and someone who's hurt all right there.
Yeah.
Cameron's all, did you guys hear that? I'm like, yeah, what did you think it was? He goes, that was a Bigfoot. And I was like, oh, that was me. I go, but the way he was acting, I said, because they were all kind of tripped out. And I looked at Ameren and I was like, you've heard that before, haven't you? And he said, yep. And then he told me his story.
Is that the story we're going to hear today? Or is there other stuff that's been going on in the last X number of years?
I mean, nothing recently because I've moved, but the house that I grew up in is in Arlington, Washington. It's kind of out towards Oso, where they had that mudslide a few years back.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah, there's a few. My parents still live out that way. They got lucky. They're not anywhere near where the mudslide happened. But anyways, out there, we would, me and my dad would be chopping wood sometimes. We had a wood-burning fireplace. And sometimes we'd hear screams in the woods, and it's like, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. And so, but sometimes we'd hear them, and it would sound like a witch, like screaming in the woods and just other stuff like that. So,
wow. And how long did you live there?
I lived there probably 3 years, and then my parents bought a house kind of in the same area. Yeah, like we couldn't see our neighbors up there. Like it was a gorgeous place.
Oh yeah, yeah. That whole area is just thick with Bigfoots. I mean, I've got some stuff from Granite Falls. I've got stuff from Darrington. I've got a lot of reports from that general area.
Sure.
Yeah, then you actually saw one out there.
Yeah, I was in the fifth grade. I never really tell people that. Yeah, my parents didn't believe me. I don't even know if they still believe me. But it was during the springtime, and it was just starting to get dark out. It was maybe like 5 o'clock or something like that. Five, it was kind of twilighty. It was baseball season. I remember that. I was playing Little League, fifth grade. And so I was shooting around. I had a basketball hoop. I was shooting hoops for a little while. And then I grabbed a baseball bat, and I was doing bat swings. We just like kind of get your bat strength up. And I was facing the woods, and there's a little clearing. And this must have been about 500 feet away. And there's this clearing, and I was staring towards the clearing, and I was just doing these bat swings. And then in between the trees, I see this Sasquatch, like undeniable. I've been reading books at that point in my life about Bigfoot. I kind of grew up Alaska native, so I grew up, you know, always just learning about it, like always asking questions. I was just really entranced by it. So anyways, I see him come out. He was just walking sideways, or not, I mean, parallel to me, but he was just walking by. And he took about like 2.5 steps. In his last step and a half, he turned his head and looked right at me. And he was reddish color. It was like reddish brown and just huge. I remember I just froze and watched him, and he was gone. It only lasted like a second and a half, but it was clear as day. And yeah, I was so scared. I just dropped my bat and I jumped up on my porch. I remember at that time our porch was like, you had to have steps, and it was like 5 feet up. And I was only a fifth grader, and I had so much adrenaline. And I was so frightened. I just jumped all the way up on top of that, and I ran inside and locked the door.
Could you guesstimate by the size? Did you go down there and look at branches and see how far above your head they were?
You know, I was afraid to go over in that area for a long time. And I think we moved like maybe a few months after that. But I've driven by since, and like just all the trees and everything have grown so much. But from my memory, it was probably, I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, that's like Shaquille O'Neal. It's like the size of Shaquille O'Neal. Like, I don't think it was like a 10 footer or anything like that. I think it was probably over 7 feet tall.
Was he like the Incredible Hulk, like big bulging muscles or?
Oh, huge. Bulging muscles. Yeah. And just, I remember the color. It was like reddish brown, which is, and everything you see in the books at that point growing up is always like dark, dark haired, you know, not really reddish brown.
Yeah. It's interesting because no matter what color the hair actually looks, when you backlight Sasquatch hair, it's always a reddish color. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, because you look at a Sasquatch, like, or I mean, not that we have that option, like, hey, look at this Sasquatch. But, you know, like a lot of people say it was black, but then it walked and then the sunlight was behind it, or it walked in front of this, you know, a lamp or something, or a lamp post. And it always has a reddish tinge to it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And people would ask, of course, like, well, why is that true? And there's a perfectly normal biological reason for that. The same reason that orangutans, for example, are a reddish, you know, color. Or, for example, deep sea fish, they're always a reddish orange color as well. It's because the red and orange are the first wavelengths of light to be absorbed by the forest canopy. So if a Sasquatch is cruising around underneath the trees, the light that hits it doesn't reflect the reddish orange, and they appear black.
Oh, wow.
It's also why ninjas used to wear like red gis, and because they'd be look just as dark as black at night.
Serious?
Yep.
Wow.
I thought it was because ninjas are cool.
Yeah, I always thought they just wore black, but yeah.
No, they'd wear red also because it would make them look, because when they wore all black, it made them look, people could suspect they were ninjas, so they'd wear red. They can, then people think, well, they're not trying to hide at night because they're wearing red. But that was just like a little cover.
Huh.
Well, enough about ninjas. Back to Bigfoot.
Yeah. ninjas are cool too. I just don't know a lot about them.
Right. What was like the hair on it? Like you said, it was reddish, whatever. But was there any different lengths in certain areas? Was it on the face? Was it on the? Could you see the hands?
Honestly, it looked just like the Patterson-Gimlin Sasquatch, but I didn't see any breasts or anything. So I remember it like thinking immediately that it was a guy, but I think it looked just like that. To tell you the truth, just a rendered a different color.
Do you know how far away it was from you?
It was a little ways away, but it was still close enough where I could see, like, we made eye contact, you know? It wasn't that far away. We just had a long driveway, and it was at the edge of our driveway. I was thinking maybe it was watching me shoot around when I was playing basketball. Like, it could have been watching me for a little while.
Where was it coming from? Where was it going?
Well, we had a big ravine to the left, the direction that it was going. So I was thinking maybe it could have been down that way. Yeah, it was a big drop-off, but it's a really wooded drop-off. So it's a real ravine, but like in Washington State, so it's just full of foliage and trees and everything. I went down there like one time because we had a river down there, and we used to sometimes walk down there to the river.
Was that where you'd hear the cries come from at nighttime?
Yeah, I mean, we would hear weird stuff. I mean, you know, some people would think maybe it was a cougar, and I really don't know, but we would hear like crazy sounds, just like a witch screaming or laughing in the woods.
So Cliff, I know you've heard me talk about this at least a dozen times, but this is the guy I heard it from. He's an Athabascan Indian, Amarin is. His grandma is the woman who back in like the 1940s, before Alaska was a state, was out picking berries, and woman she was with got kidnapped by a Sasquatch.
Oh, that abduction story. Yeah, I've heard you tell that story before. That's your relative?
It was an alleged abduction story. We don't know for sure what happened. Well, I believe they were out berry picking, and then the girl had went missing. And so, well, there's two berry picking stories. The first one, she went missing. You know, they couldn't find her. Like, they never found her. And then a year later, people were thinking that they maybe saw her, or fish was getting stolen from a fish house, because they had these smoke houses and fish houses where they like dry and cure and smoke the salmon. And so it kept getting stolen. And I think they saw her and they knew it was her. And they're like, holy cow, she's alive. And so they set up a trap, like some type of enclosure. And when she went in there one night, then they were able to basically trap her. And then they had to put her like in some type of a cage for like 6 months. Like, she basically turned feral. She was just wild. Like, her hair was crazy. And they were thinking that she was living with like a family of Sasquatches for that year. You know, so, like, someone had to be taking care of her. I mean, it's so brutally cold up there.
It was the Yukon.
Yeah. It was down the Yukon where my mom's side of the family is from. That was so long ago that I remember even like inquiring about the story. Cause I remember growing up hearing the story. But then I was asking my mom the other day, and she was telling me, just basically what I just told you. And I was like, oh, wow. And then there's another one where a girl, same area, same situation, where she, they're berry picking. Cause you know, that's just what they do up there. You eat a lot of berries and stuff, a lot of salmon. But she went missing too, and they looked, and then they found her like 3 days later, and she was high up in a tree, just sitting, like hanging out up there, and her hair was braided, I guess. And yeah, just really, really weird, you know.
And what did she have to say about that?
I guess they just don't remember anything. It's all, like, maybe they block it out mentally. I mean, I really don't know.
The abductees, the people who were abducted, don't remember, yeah, or don't say. So she just, yeah, said like, yeah, I'm just hanging out in a tree. Like, don't worry. Yeah. Ain't no thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's just really, really weird.
It is weird.
But it's almost like they block it out. Like, or you become feral, and you know, like, I think your mind will protect you a lot of the times when like weird abductions happen, like things like that. So like something traumatizing, like you might feel like it's a dream possibly, or like it would just be really weird. You know, like, I don't even know how I would react if I was a young child and something like that happened to me. Like, I don't know.
You know, these sort of abduction stories, it seems to me at least, and, you know, I'm just some white guy, but it seems like they're much more common amongst Native communities. Do you attribute that to perhaps they just live, like the Native peoples live more intertwined with the wild, or live in areas where they're just more Bigfoots, or the Bigfoots feel more comfortable with the Native people? Or, like, what do you think that's about?
Well, I think it's probably a combination of all those. I'm not so sure that the Bigfoots are comfortable with people at all. Cause like, mm-hmm. I mean, really, they're probably encroaching, but they live out in the bush. Like, they live a subsistence lifestyle. Like, you know, they go hunting, they go fishing. Like, they have to live off the fat of the land, basically. And I just think by living in the bush, you have easier access to have these encounters, to have these situations occur. You're living in L.A., or you're not going to see a Sasquatch down there. You know? You might see some raccoons, like, stealing from a garbage can or something, but...
Yeah, that's for sure. I know that you were, at least for some of your youth, you were in Washington. But did you grow up at all in Alaska?
So I was born in Alaska. My parents were teachers. And so my dad got a job as a principal down here. So he moved down here to Arlington when I was in the third grade. But because they work for the school district, we would have summers off. So I'd spend all my summers, a couple months at a time, up in Alaska.
Way deep out in the bush.
Yeah, in the bush. We would fly up to Fairbanks, and then you'd go to the other side of the airport to the where the bush planes are, and then you'd hop in like a little six-seater and fly west for over an hour, and you could either do it that way or you could hop in a riverboat and go down the river for 5 hours or whatever. But we never did the boat thing. We just got in the bush planes and hop. And I remember always flying, and you would just see nothing as far as you could see. But there's just lakes everywhere because there's so many mosquitoes up there. It's brutal. I just remember seeing these ponds and lakes everywhere. And then you're just kind of following the Yukon River. And that river, I mean, it's a mile wide in some spots. You know, it's a big water source.
Are both of your parents native?
No, my dad is actually from Utah. But my mom she's Athabascan. Both her parents were Athabascan as well.
And that's who you would spend time with during the summer?
Every summer, even when I didn't want to go up there when I was a kid, I didn't have a choice. I was getting drug up to Alaska. I look back now and I'm glad I had that opportunity. And the sun never sets up there in the summertime, you know, because of the Earth's axis. So it's like sunset all night long. So I don't even know when we slept. Like we were just always outside, like fishing, doing all that stuff.
It sounds like paradise.
Yeah, minus the mosquitoes.
Yeah, I suppose so. I've been to Fairbanks. The mosquitoes are gnarly. During the summers, when you're up with your aunts and uncles and grandparents and all that sort of stuff on the native side, what sort of stories did they share about Sasquatches or Sasquatch-like creatures? Or did they even equate them at the time? Like, like the Zoniqua, for example, in the Salish language or whatever. That's probably a Sasquatch-like creature. We can equate the two now that we stand back and look. But are there stories that you were told that, looking at from your perspective now, you go, oh, that was a Bigfoot story, and I just maybe didn't realize it at the time?
Pretty much all the stories were immediately a story about Bigfoot. The Athabascan word for it is Nigalina. Most of the stories, I mean, the ones I told you about the girls that went missing and kind of became feral, I remember hearing those. But then most of the stories that we would hear was like, oh, did you hear so-and-so just saw one, like up at Bishop Mountain or blah, 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 blah. And you're like, holy cow. And so people don't even... like, they don't even really question the credibility of people that have these sightings. They just like already know that it's real, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's a story I heard. Remember, they were flying in an airplane. Like, he had his own personal Cessna or something. And instead of paying for flights, they had his own airplane. So they could go from Fairbanks back and forth, grab groceries, whatever. And he was flying, and I guess his wife looked down and she saw one just running across the beach. Like, when I was young, they used to say that it would, like, the rumor was they would run so fast that it would look like they were flying. Like, I remember hearing that growing up. And so I remember this story, they said that she saw it on the beach, running down the beach, and it looked like it was running so fast that almost like it was flying. She told her husband, they circled around and then it was gone.
Yeah, Clip, there's a few other things you've heard me talk about over the years that came from Ameren. So you're more familiar with Ameren than you know, because when I was going to go there and look for the Bigfoot graves in Alaska a couple of years ago, it was Amron's uncle that found it. You want to tell him that story, Amron?
Yeah, well, I mean, just like another witness report. Yeah, he called me up and he was all excited. He told me. And so basically he has this friend. I won't say his name. He took his boat and his dog out and he heard about this hill and he wanted to climb it. And so he went and he climbed it. And then, he realized that there's a lake up there. And when he got to the lake, there was these weird mounds, like, all around. And it was, like, burial mounds. And then when he got up to the mounds, he started hearing shrieks and screams, and I guess stuff started getting thrown at him from the tree line. And so he just grabbed his dog and booked it out of there. So I thought when that happened, it was like recently, but I guess that happened back in the 80s, and he never really told many people about it. If it's a Bigfoot burial site, then it's still there. You know, it didn't really change from the 80s.
Because we couldn't get in that year because of the floods.
Yeah, they had a horrible flood. Like, it was like a week after I found out about that. They got destroyed.
Something else I shared with you, Cliff, came from Ameren, also in Alaska, was that photo of the, we thought was maybe a baby Bigfoot, but they thought was a stick Indian.
With the ATV in it?
Yes.
Yeah, they call them little people up there. I think the stick Indian thing is just like a Northwest, maybe Salish type thing.
That's a creepy picture.
I made some phone calls, and I guess it was my cousin's friend that took the picture, but I don't know how to get a hold of him. Like,
oh yeah, if you can find that guy and get permission, we'd love to share that on the members section.
I never, like, all my questions growing up was always about like Sasquatch. It's always about the woodsmen, you know? So I never even knew about little people until like a year and a half ago. And I was like, what is this? And I never really believed it. And then I saw this picture that was like circulating around my family, and I was like, holy crap. You know, I've been showing people, because I like to freak people out sometimes when I'm working with them. And we're like, because I work for the railroad, so, you know, we'll take freight trains over like the Cascades over to the Wenatchee. And sometimes I'll tell people.
You brought up something interesting. You said you work on the railroads. You must have heard stories from other people working on the railroads of people seeing Sasquatches on or near the tracks.
You know, when you're on a train at like 2 o'clock in the morning going through the Cascades, like, you know, sometimes you talk about Bigfoot.
I know people on the railroads see these things. I've always heard reports and read a few and stuff, but literally 2 months ago, I was at this bar in Boring, Oregon. This guy comes over and like looks at me kind of funny. And you know, he comes up to me, goes, "Hey, are you that Bigfoot guy?" And I go, yeah, I am actually, because I've got a beard, and I didn't have a beard on the show, but I've got a beard now. So yeah, I guess I wasn't wearing glasses, but maybe it looked like I was in disguise. But he comes up and he goes, "Hey, you're that guy, right?" And he goes, "Yeah, you're Cliff." And that's why he goes, "Oh my God." And he starts talking to him. And apparently he was with two other guys who work for the railroad that goes along the 84, you know, right along the Columbia River on the south side of the Columbia River in Oregon. It comes from Eastern Oregon and goes into Portland. And two out of three of those guys had observed Sasquatches from the train in the last 5 years in the area of Cascade Locks. One of the guys said that there was something on the tracks that like it was like laying down on the tracks, and he started blowing the horn, and he thought it was a bear or something sleeping on the tracks, and then the thing like stood up on two legs and like with one or two steps just disappeared into the woods, and he went like, holy shit, you know. And then the other guy said that he saw one walking on the side of the road, and he says all sorts of weird things happen along in the Cascade Locks, Eagle Creek area along the tracks, and all this stuff happened in the same area, in the same like maybe 3 miles of tracks.
That's funny you said the bear thing, because this guy that I talked to this morning told me almost the exact same story. He was with another engineer, and they were same thing, going over the Cascade Mountains to Wenatchee, because he was on that run for a long time. That's like all he did. And they look down, they go, "Oh man, look at that bear." Or his engineer said that. His engineer goes, "Oh look, there's a bear." And they go and they look over there, and then the bear stands up on 2 feet and walks away. And he's like, "That was not a bear." Yeah. And so, yeah, basically the exact same story.
Yeah, that's rad. I mean, I was just writing a thing this morning for the museum, like writing this write-up. And I was commenting about how about half of Sasquatch sightings happen along roads. And the reasons why that might be and everything. And I think all of those reasons stand up for railroad tracks as well. It's because railroad tracks or roads or power line cuts or any of these places are one of the few places in the woods where sunlight reaches the forest floor. And that's where the highly nutritious plants grow. And so it collects things like deer and rabbits and herbivores, basically food items for Bigfoots. And of course, it's easier to travel through that area. There's a lot of reasons why Bigfoots would be hanging out along railroad tracks.
Yeah, I see so much game when I'm on. I mean, I've seen bears, I've seen elk, moose, lots of deer, but I've never seen a cougar, and I've never seen a Sasquatch. We have these in-cab cameras that, you know, just for liability purposes for the railroad, they are watching us out the front window. So I like to think that whatever we see is going to be captured on camera, you know, just like a police cruiser, you know. I wonder how much weird footage they have that the railroad doesn't even tell anybody about, or the people that don't even tell the railroad. Because I would tell the railroad, I'd be like, hey, man, we just saw a UFO, and you're going to see that stuff in your camera. You need to take a look, you know?
Yeah.
Well, gosh, Cameron, it's been great talking to you. And I told Cliff when we first started doing the podcast, I said, we got to get my buddy Amron on. He's got some great stories.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. They're super interesting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Cliff.
That was awesome, Bubs. He was a great witness. You were correct. You know what I appreciated about Amron is that he has a little bit of the Native perspective and a little bit of the white perspective, because, you know, he's his mom is Native and his dad is white. So he gets a little bit of both worlds. And I think that's kind of cool. It's a nice binocular vision to look at the subject through.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, he's hip to both worlds.
That was a great conversation. Thank you so much for bringing such fantastic witnesses on the show. I love having conversations with people like that.
Oh, yeah, he is great. So I guess till next week, we'll have to just keep it squatchy, folks.
I'll do my best.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bigfoot and Beyond. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe to Bigfoot and Beyond wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bigfoot and Beyond Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Bigfoot and Beyond, that's an N in the middle, and tweet us your thoughts and questions with the hashtag Bigfoot and Beyond.